traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Welcome, horse fans, to the International Equine Network. I'm all excited today, which I am every Thursday at 1 o'clock. We've got a lot of good things going along with BBS. They're going to be restructuring some things for us. So we're going to have videos starting next Thursday with what we're doing here. We've upgraded some things here on our end, and we're ready to roll. You know, so it's going to be video next week. You'll get to see me. You'll get to see me after 9 months. You'll see what I look like. Don't get your hopes up too much. You'll get a good laugh out of it. Well, last week what we talked about was the format of the International Equine Network. And we're going to kind of recap that and revamp that a little bit. And then we're going to talk about some updates in the thoroughbred industry that we just got in today regarding the Breeders' Cup and the 2021 Kentucky Derby that we'll talk about. But basically here on the International Equine Network, what we're doing is we're going to be a distribution outlet for all breeds of horses. We'll go from backyard pony shows, pony birthdays, up to the Olympics. That's what we'll be focusing on. So, you know, we're going to do a little bit of everything. And speaking of the Olympics, one of the things that we're going to do is we've got a show called Quest for Equine Gold. And what we do is we travel the world to document and do distribution of all types of horse shows that qualify horses for the Olympics. And there's a set schedule that we'll be on. And so we'll be posting that on our website every week, and you can come in and see and go to actually watch those horse shows, those qualifiers for the Olympics, you know, on our website is what we'll be doing with that. So just about every little program that we have here will follow along that format. You know, we'll have updates and all kinds of different things, you know, on there about the Olympics that we'll be looking at. And one of the things that's very important about Quest for Equine Gold is the fact that we are back to a regular schedule for the 2021 Olympics in Tokyo. And so, you know, that's going to be something that you can set on your reminder and your calendars, you know, every week to watch it. And basically what's going to happen is we will have the shows, the events on our website live. They will be live. But you can also go back to the archives, and you know you can see the horse. If you missed the live show, then you can go and see you know what happened in that live show. And like we were saying before about the Olympics being on schedule, which is going to be really good because you'll get a chance to see all the European shows. You'll get to see shows from Australia and South America that lead up to, you know, the 2021 Olympics. And, you know, having said that about the Olympics being updated and on a regular schedule, we also found out today that Churchill has moved the 2021 Derby back to the traditional date. It'll be the first Saturday in May. And so, you know, it seems like everything's getting on back to speed in the thoroughbred business, which is great for the trainers. Because now the trainers can start pointing their horses towards, you know, the Derby, and they can get on the old schedule. I think what's happened is that ironic, you know, it's ironic that we did survive the COVID. You know, I tell you what, we were very fortunate in the horse industry to survive like that we did, but the protocols were there. We followed science. We did the things that we needed to do, you know, to keep our industry safe. And it's working out. It's working out very well. The show horse people, are back on their regular schedule. The standard breds are back on their regular schedule. In fact, this weekend they have the Breeders' Crown at Hoosier Park, which if you come to our website, you'll be able to see that. And we're kind of lucky here because in the Breeders' Crown races on Saturday, Tony Alagna, one of our biggest clients here at Sunshine Meadows, has 8 horses running on Saturday in the Breeders' Crown race. And it was kind of exciting because he had his first 2 loads of horses have come back in, and they're in the barns here, and they're starting to break the babies to get them ready for next year. And so this is the exciting part because we get to see all these well-bred, standard-bred horses, first day of school, as you might say, just like your kids go to school. And he's got a fine-looking group over there, very, very nice horses that are there. In fact, one of the big things that I do here at Sunshine Meadows is I accept the delivery and of loads of shavings for each barn. And it may sound like it's just, you come in and you dump it off, but you don't. What we do here at Sunshine Meadows is that I escort the 18-wheelers full of shavings into the barn area. We make sure they go slow so that they don't spook any of our show horses or any of our standard bred horses. And then when we come into the barn with all these babies, never seen them, the shavings trucks are, it's all new experience for them. So I go through and talk to them, and this is the first time in 5 years that we have brought a shavings truck down into barn 12 with Tony Alani has some of his horses at. And these horses did not spook at all. They were just very curious about it. They watched everything the driver did. They watched me. And then we got the load emptied, and they left, and it was amazing. And I've never seen that before, so I think he might even be onto a better crop than he had last year, with it. But like I said, the standard breds seem to be on a regular schedule. The Breeders' Crown is usually this time of year for the standard breds, and so they've kind of stuck to their schedule. And it was touch and go there for a while. It was kind of tough there, but so they're back on schedule, which is really good. But the exciting thing is that the Derby and the Triple Crown will be back onto their regular schedule. So we can plan your parties and you can plan your visits and your trips, get on that journey to the Derby, which I'm excited about because this weekend is the 1st of November, and then a week from this weekend, we have the Breeders' Cup for Thoroughbreds, which starts off the whole Derby series of races that will be coming up. And we'll be starting off with the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, which will actually get everybody rolling, for the Derby on a regular schedule. And I tell you, we're just not going to miss a beat this year, guys and girls. We're going to be able to get right on down the road, with these horses. And so November 6th will be the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And then the race that's really exciting is at Churchill. This usually brings out a lot of real good horses. It's the Kentucky Jockey Club. And that'll be November 28th. It's a Thanksgiving weekend, unfortunately, but it makes a nice day. It's on Saturday, and it's at the Breeders' Cup Thanksgiving weekend. So now that we're back on schedule with the Thoroughbreds, we're back on schedule with Quest for Equine Gold and the Olympics. We're back on schedule for our polo season this year. We have Chucker on our website, and that's really a nice website because if you want to kill some time, you can go to our website and you can see Chucker. And Chucker is a link, is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week link to live and tape polo matches around the world. And they're very, very interesting to watch polo. The announcers are good. They explain it to you. And that's what I like, the 24 hours, 7 days a week about Chukka. We will be bringing to you reports on Chukka this year from Wellington, Florida, where they have the America's Cup in the winter. It's the, one of the biggest polo matches in the world. So, we'll go to Wellington and we'll talk to the people who make the polo mallets. You'll see how polo balls are made. You'll get an understanding of how you train a polo horse to do what they do. We'll explain to you what a chukka is. We'll explain to you where polo ponies come. It's going to be really exciting. And what I like about Wellington is you see some of the richest people in the world, the most famous people in the world there, not only as spectators, but as players. And I was just amazed at it. And first time I ever went to Wellington, I'm not a man of means by any way, shape, or form. And so I went out there, and you could pull right up to the polo field. You could watch the match. And it doesn't cost you anything. And I was just so impressed with it. Here I am around all these different people. My goodness. I felt bad grabbing into my little bag of McDonald's from the car down from me, was eating caviar and drinking champagne. And I'm drinking Pepsi and eating McDonald's. But Chukka is really good to go to. It's very, it has a lot of information on it. It'll take you around the world every week, on international and domestic polo. That show is going to be exciting for a lot of people that just want to kill some time. And you'll learn polo, and it'll really get you interested in it. And then the one show that, actually, I've been thinking about for a long time, and if I had the right situation right now, I would be in a Keystone, Montana trailer traveling, the country to do all these shows and events that we're talking about. But on our show that we call Chuck Wagon, that show is all about how equestrians live on the road. It's about how they get a trailer. Some people have the big fifth wheel trailers. Some people have the big motorhomes, the $1 million motorhomes. And then there are some equestrians that have the little tag along. It's basically just camping. For them, but the fifth wheel from Keystone, Montana, seems to be the choice of equestrians. And what I like about this show is you don't have to be in the thoroughbreds or the polo or the quarter horses or, the show horses. You just have to be an equestrian. And literally at every equestrian event, within minutes of the showground, is usually a camping or an RV facility. A lot of the equestrian venues now have RV facilities on its premises, and it makes it a lot easier for the equestrian. They don't have to spend time in a hotel driving back and forth, or anything like that. That's what I like about Chuckleg. And then we'll go into detail on how to make your day a lot easier as an equestrian. Your time's usually up with warming up, training horses, meeting with owners, the whole general equestrian day is just, your time's just eating up. And a lot of these recipes that we're going to have are from equestrians, and they're one kind of like a one-pot deal, you might say. And the first one that we'll start off with next week, and we'll have the recipe, is it's a slow cooker breakfast. And you literally put it into all the ingredients into the slow cooker the night before. You turn it on low. And then when you get up the next morning, your breakfast is ready. So it makes it easy because you just grab your plate and your knives and forks and spoons and your coffee and your juice and you go. You're ready to go. And we'll have a lot of things like that, easy lunches to make that you can prepare ahead of time so that you're not, your time's not all consumed, preparing meals. And that's important to a horseman is what you can do and, how you can do it. And then the same thing with our dinners at nighttime. We get a little more extravagant with our dinners at nighttime. We'll get into the outdoor barbecues. We'll get into some gourmet foods from the show horse people. There's some show horse people, riders out there that have some fantastic, easy to put together recipes that I think everybody will really enjoy. And the great thing about this is that on Chuck Wagon, we have such an international variety of equestrians from all over the world, and they will be bringing their recipes to Chuck Wagon. And it'll be nice to get away from, the barbecued, chicken and ribs and hamburgers and everything and get into some real, unique and different foods from all around the world. And so that's what we'll be looking at that. And also on Chuck Wagon, what we'll do is we'll explain to everyone and give you a list that will be on our website of everything that you need to have all the comforts at home in your RV. We'll go from what type of dish soap, that we recommend, mosquito repellent, you name it, we're going to have it in there. Make sure that you have everything so that you don't need, to run out to the store. And speaking of running out to the store, one of the sponsors that we're going to have on Chuck Wagon is a company called Shipt, SHIPT.com. And it's got an annual membership of $99 a year. Sometimes you can get it for $49 a year if you catch the sale. And what it is that you sign up for Shipt, and you can go to their website. And like in our area here in South Florida, we have access to, which I use all the time. I get all my groceries every week. And a lot of my office supplies and a lot of different things that you, might have to go out one time and get. But what they do here in South Florida is we have Winn-Dixie. We have Winn-Dixie Grocery. We have Winn-Dixie Liquor Store on there. We have ABC Liquor Store. We have Office Depot on there. We have Target. We have Publix. Let's see who else we have. We have CVS, and we have Costco. So that literally covers everything that you might need from any medical prescriptions to bulk items that you can get, like at Costco. That type of thing. And then you have Target, Winn-Dixie, and Publix on there. And the great thing about it is once you pay that membership fee, there's no delivery charge if you spend $35 or more on your order. And what you do is you go online to Shipt.com and you order your groceries. The prices of the groceries that you order online are the same prices as if you were to go to the store and pick them up. And it's not hard to spend $35 in groceries. By the time you get your water and your soda and, your meat and vegetables, and ice cream, and, the whole nine yards, it's not hard to spend $35. And this is what you love. no matter where you're at, if you're at your house, if you're at the showground, if you're at the camp, at the RV site, you just tell them where you're at and they deliver it to you within 2 hours. I've been with them for over a year now, and very rarely have we've had a situation that we didn't get our groceries in within 2 hours. And remember now, I live in South Florida. We've gone through the pandemic. We had the hurricanes. Even during the hurricanes, everything went great. They were right there. And when the pandemic hit, we were able to get toilet paper from them. So, that's worth it right there in itself just for the year membership. To know that you have access to items that are usually hard to get. And the great thing about it is you don't have to go to the store and fight the crowd, fight parking, the drive to and the drive from. It frees up your time an awful lot. And also on the Chucker, we will go through with Keystone, Montana, on how to maintain your RVs. What needs to be done, where you can get it checked out, the whole RV lifestyle. We'll go through and show you what it's like. And with the RV lifestyle, we have another item on our website. It's called the Horse Motel. And this Horse Motel is domestic and international. You can find a Horse Motel in England, in France, Germany, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States. And what I like about it is to horse people to begin with. And when you go to their website or if you call them and you tell them where you're going and, where you're at, what they do is they'll set you up with an overnight stabling, for you and your horse. And if you got an RV, they can accommodate you for that. Or if you need a motel, they can accommodate you with that. Also, there's something right there with them. And the great thing about it is that they have access to veterinarians and blacksmiths and things of that nature. So the Horse Motel kind of coincides with, Chucker. And what we're trying to do here is create a website and an organization that allows our viewers and our listeners to get immediate access to something that they might need in the horse industry, that type of thing. One thing that we have on there, we have access to veterinarians all across the country. And you can call our segment with the vet, and if you need a vet, and they get you there. We have access to things like Good Sam Club. And with Good Sam Club, they take care of all your needs for your RV, and if you need a truck, if you need towing, if you need anything that related to your RV or to your travel as far as repairs, and you can even buy new vehicles, through them, which is good. And, and speaking of vehicles, we do have an information site on there that I guarantee you, if you call our auto section on our website, you are within 20 minutes of being able to purchase a new car or a used car. So you'll never be without. And they're all across the United States, which is, for me, that's handy. We also have a section on there with Bank America. They bank internationally and domestic. And, you can go to them. And what we recommend to a lot of our equestrians is the fact that they can get a debit card and they can get direct deposit. And so you don't have to worry about being in California racing one day and then, Chicago the next weekend and trying to cash your check. You can get a direct deposit, right into your account there, and you're good to go. and they help with financing the vehicles and some of the American banks can help you purchase horses. So, you know, you just have to check with each individual one, you know, there with it. So that's another item that we have there. We have a company on that has let us place their link on our website to get horse feed, and it's for all breeds. And the thing that I like about this and the whole concept behind the website is to give people access to products that they might need all over the world, whether you're in Europe, Australia, United States. You know, that's what we're trying to do. And the company's name is Hallway Feed. It's amazing the things that they created for the horse industry. You know, if you go to Hallway Feeds and you look on there and you've got a brood mare that's in foal, they've got a feed for it. If you've got a racehorse, you know, that needs a lot of high energy, they have a feed for that. If you have a quarter horse that really needs a lot of strength and stamina, they have a feed for that. And they have feed for the mares and foals and yearlings. So they're very good at what they did. And like I said, they deliver all over the world. If you go to their website, and you can see where they deliver to, and you would be surprised how fast or where you can get, you know, Hallway Feed at. That's another thing that, you know, is part of our distribution platform that we have here with information. Then we have on our website Creech Brothers Horse Transportation. They're located in Ocala and Lexington, Kentucky. And the folks at Creech Brothers are just phenomenal. They're at all the sales, they're at all the tracks. You know, whether you got one horse or, you know, you got a whole stable to ship, whether it's show horses, standard breds, thoroughbreds, you know, they can get the job done just by calling their office and telling them what you need and where you're going. And they're really good at it. And I've seen them around for years. And they know the season. They know the show season. They know the race season. They know the sales. They know the timing, and they can get you where you need to go. Like I said, whether it's one horse or on a whole stable, they can do it. And they're very professional. Their trucks are in tip-top shape. The staff that they have are all qualified horsemen. You know, and you don't have to worry about your horse, you know, getting to where it needs to go because they get the job done. You know, that's for sure. And then, along with transportation, we're going to talk a lot about how you fly horses. I flew with Enstone Air Services for quite a few years and went all over the world with the different horses, whether they're show horses, yearlings for the sale, brood mares. You know, we flew everywhere. And it's very interesting to see how we go through that. We'll go through that process. That's on part of how they get there in the 2021 Kentucky Derby that we're doing a documentary that we're doing. It's amazing how you can go from here to Hong Kong in relatively, you know, a 30, 31-hour day. And the paperwork is phenomenal when you go through it. And you have it in English in whatever country you're going to, their language. And it's just a very complex situation when you fly horses. You fly at usually around 39,000 feet, which is cargo highway. You take off, and it's immediate ascent to, you know, your altitude. And the horses really don't mind it at all. They're on there. They're in containers. Containers have hay and water in them. And they have a little and a front compartment to where if you need to get in to work with the horses or, you know, calm them down or sedate them or, you know, whatever you might need to do with them, you know, there's that little compartment in front. Usually you have one container and you have a divided compartment that has a stall and a half in each, on each side. And the landing is interesting because they know that they're getting ready to, something's happening. And they get real calm and real quiet. And, you know, it works out really well. But, you know, you'd be surprised. I'm saying that I did this for a long time. I'm saying that horses travel better in the air than they do on the ground. Because in the air, it's pretty much a straightforward, you know, situation. You're not going around curves. You know, you're not going up and down hills. You know, you're not, you don't have to slam on the brakes if somebody pulls out in front of you. So it's a relatively, you know, smooth flight most of the time. Now, sometimes, you know, you'll have a situation where, you know, you get a little turbulence and, you know, it'll shake them up a little bit, but pretty much for the most part, they're really, really calm with it. And I'll give you a good example. The first time that I went to Hong Kong, I go to Hong Kong and I'm all excited and, you know, being able to see Hong Kong for the first time and, you know, dealing with people that actually live there. You know, it's not like that, you know, we went there to visit and, you know, you go to a hotel and then do the tourist thing. When we went to Hong Kong, we did stay in a hotel, but we got to know the crew at the airport, know the crew, you know, with the horses and the farms and, you know, see how they do things over there. And it's really no different than what we do here. You know, it's just a different country and it's, you know, different language and it's all basically the same. And, you know, I was so intrigued by taking the horses from the airport out to the farms, the highways, and the people, and the farm itself. You know, they're just really, really professional. And when I went to Hong Kong, we had to go to a country called Macau. It's off the Vietnam, China borders. And it's a wide open, Macau is wide open. It's kind of scary when you go there because it's all casinos and racetrack hotels and gambling. But it is a beautiful country. And the people are really, you know, good people. And it was great to go to because when we left the airport, we barged over to the harbor. And then the boxes that we have the horses in are loaded onto a barge, and we barge them over from Hong Kong to Macau. And it takes a few hours, you know, to get the job done. You're out in the South China Sea, and you get to see a lot of beautiful scenery, you know, along the way over. And we get over there, and then we unload them. And just like we do here in the States, you take them over to the track. And then we came back to, once we got them unloaded and at the track, we go back to the harbor. And what we did is we take a jet boat back. We don't take the barge back because they're not paying bills if they go anywhere empty. And to take an old guy like me back across on the barge, which sometimes you might need, you know, it's just not worthwhile. So what we would do is we would get on the jet boats. And they cut down about half the time that it takes you to get over there. You know, you're up on the big rudders and you know, it's just it's something else, you know, to see, to be able to do. But that's all part of how the horses get there. And there's the transportation. Some horses come from from China, and some horses come from Japan, some horses come from, Russia, and it's quite a process, but when it's all said and done, is the same as it is here in the States. Trucks, planes, and boats. That's how you get them. So, but we'll have a lot of good video of that. And we got some video of when I was flying with the horses and how we actually worked as a team and how everybody had their job and you get it done and you get them on the plane. We flew mostly MD-11s. They were special contingent by FedEx for the horse industry. And you'll see exactly what it's like inside the plane and how they go. It'll be quite interesting, for you to see that and all the things and the people that go with it. So that's what we're doing on that. And then the one other thing that has really got caught a lot of people's attention when we're here and the things that we do is how farms run, how the farms run. People think you see a lot of things when you drive by and you think it's just a barn and it's just, horses out in the field. That's true. That does happen. But the thing that I think is going to be most interesting for everybody, and like I said, you don't have to know a lot about horses to watch what we're doing. You're going to go behind the scenes, and you're going to meet the owners. You're going to meet the trainers. You're going to meet the farm jockeys. You're going to meet the grooms. And you're going to see how the horses are brought along, on their road to the Kentucky Derby. What they call breaking horses in the horse industry is you start teaching them from when the yearlings, the weanlings and yearlings, get them adjusted to saddles, bridles. You get them adjusted to walking with the equipment on. You just start the general process of them being able to do your discipline, whether it's racing or shows or what have you, that kind of thing. And what I like to see about it is how fast they come along. Now, like I said out here earlier, Tony Alagna starting to send his babies in. And I sit here and I watch him go, Tony's barns right across from where I live at. And you see these babies getting start training. And some of them adjust to it. Some of them will fight you. Some of them, really look forward to going to it in the morning. And same thing with the thoroughbreds. But on how they get there is going to be concentrated strictly on thoroughbreds and how they break thoroughbreds. It's quite a unique process to get them ready to run and start training. You'll see how they're fed on the farm. You'll see how they're shod on the farm, how they get their shoes. You'll see everything, the veterinarian work that's done for them. You'll see all the things that go into making a horse, the athlete that he is. It's amazing that these horses get better care than most people do. That's for sure. They're getting their meals every day, their stalls clean, they're getting a bath every day, they're getting their vitamins, they get their shoes every 4 or 5 weeks. And that's all at the farm. And like I said, we're going to be talking with the owners and the trainers, and it's really going to be unique because we're going to sit in on meetings with the owners. And you're going to see the thought process that goes through when an owner sits down and decides to buy a horse. First of all, you got to set your price on it, how much you want to spend on a horse. And you have to kind of think about the bloodline, that you're looking for, what you want to accomplish. Do you want a horse that's a sprinter? Do you want a horse that is, a classic runner for like the Derby, the Belmont, and the Preakness? What a horse that just runs on the grass, that type of thing. And you also have to take into consideration that the bloodlines and so forth, you have to make sure that he or she has a marketable bloodline. If this horse does find success on the track, you know, and it's got a good bloodline, then, you know, it's good for you at the sale. But yet again, if the horse can't run very well and doesn't show very much on the track, if it's got a good bloodline, then there could be, you know, some possibility of breeding value, you know, and you could be able to get, you know, some or part or most or all of your money back, you know, through breeding or sales, you know, that they have. And on our website, we have Last Call, and it's about all the sales internationally of all breeds. And we can go in and say, you don't have to worry, you know, worry about knowing anything about horses, but just watch the sales, you know. And a lot of times, some of my friends, they said, oh, you know, I think this horse will sell for 10 pounds. You know, and he sells for 1,000. And sometimes they say, I think it sells for 5,000, he sells for 300,000. You know, so and again, it's a Last Call on their website. But at the farm, there's so many things that go on. And it all starts with the owner, because it starts with the money. You know, and he has to kind of get an idea and where he wants to go with the horse that he's thinking about, you know, buying. At the farm, it could be that they're breeding their own stock, and it would be a homebred, and they could, you know, choose a horse from, you know, their own band of horses, from their stallions and their mares. But if they do go to the sales, like I said, it's the owner's decision. But then you have to take into consideration, the owner does, is the trainer. You got to make sure that the horse that you're getting, or want to get, is in line with the trainer's training program, his philosophy, and how they get there. And so now you got a second entity in that is helping you weigh out decisions on how you want to create an equine program. But again, this is all on how they get there, and it starts with the owner and the farm. So, having said that, you go to the sales, or you can privately buy, but now you got the owner and the trainer involved. And so once you get the purchase your horse and you get him into your training barn, you bring in the third entity that's involved with the horse, and that's the exercise rider and or jockey. So they're the ones that can really tell you, you know, what you like, because they're on top of it, they're on the track, and when they're on the track, they're hearing the horse breathe, they're feeling how the horse is hitting the ground, they know how the horse is reacting to the crowd, the stands, and other horses when they get around. So now you've got three people involved in trying to make a decision on how they get there. So now, having said that, in order to maintain the horse's health, you bring in the veterinarian. And the veterinarian can do things such as, for example, one of the clients that I worked for, they would ultrasound the horses, whether they were yearlings or older horses or bought at the sales. And what they would do is they'd ultrasound the legs and the knees. And they would ultrasound, the shoulders and the heart and the lungs. And depending on the thickness and size, you know, of the lungs and the heart, and, you know, and everything that they ultrasound, they determine whether they buy the horse or not. And that really helps eliminate a lot of things, but it takes a lot of money. You know, it takes a lot of money, you know, to do that. And so that's... one of the most important things is the veterinarian, because after, you know, you ultrasound the horses and, you know, you get with your veterinarians and what the horse needs and make sure he's got all of his shots and, you know, that the horse is healthy. So now, you know, you're looking at four people involved. with a horse. So if you got a good horse, the trainer likes it, the owner likes it, jockey likes it, the groom and the hot walker like the horse, now it comes down to what I think is the most important part of the whole operation, the blacksmith. The blacksmith's got to keep that horse's feet good to go 7 days a week. 7 days a week, you got to make sure that horse is going to have the right shoes and he can walk and run and train comfortably. And then every 4 to 5 weeks, you got to put new shoes on the horse. So that's why the blacksmith is very, very important, to the whole operation, because if the feet can't get him across the ground, then you can't get to the winter circle. And so now, you're looking at 6, 7 people that are involved, with it. One of the things that you have to look at is transportation. It's not like you can just go to one track and train, all year round and then go to the Derby, because there's races all across the country that are on the Derby program. And so you got to make sure you got good transportation. Do you want to haul the horse yourself? Do you want to hire, out a van company to haul your horses? That type of thing. And one thing that I like is most of the people that I work for, they have their own transportation. And I was fortunate enough to do transportation at Windstar. And we had the best equipment in the world and had the best help in the world. And, it was good for us, to do what we did with the horses. So you got a lot of people, that start off that how they get there. I tell you, there's so many things involved in it. And, like I said, it helps when you got other people. You got to plan the races out. You got to plan the feed out. You got to plan everything out. And everybody has to work together as one unit, as a team. You have to come together, work as a team, with a common knowledge that your goal is the Kentucky Derby. And how they get there is, you can't write a book on it. I'm trying to bring this to video and to radio of how they get there. But if there was a certain way to do it, is what he Stevens said at Gulfstream one year. He'd won 5 Belmonts in a row. And he says, if you could write a book, he said, everybody'd be winning these damn races. And so I got, that's what I got to think about how they get there. It's all different. It's always something. No right way to do it. No wrong way to do it. A lot of it depends on the horse. And if the horse, can get you there, then that's great. Because you can come back and train and feed the same way next year and not have a thing, with that horse. They're all different. You have so many people that are involved in the beginning of it, to get a horse, to the Derby. You've got an office personnel that arranges airplane flights, that arranges rental cars for the trainers and the owners. There's just so many people involved, with just getting a horse in a position to where you might go to the Derby with. Having said that, it all started at the farm. Then you go into your training schedule. And you have to plan your training out months in advance. You try to, hopefully the horse stays healthy and everything works, for you. You can get the horse down the road to other tracks to get an experience. But the main thing is that if you're thinking Triple Crown, what you would like to do is be able to run a horse at Churchill. Early in his career and during his career, you would like to run at Pimlico where the Preakness is, and then Belmont for the Belmont to get the horse across the ground there. It is what you try to do. But, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that you can't run in a Derby. A lot of horses never run at Churchill, you know, that come in, or Pimlico, or Belmont. They've never seen the track, you know, and they come in, they do pretty well at it. But the schedule is kind of quite rigorous. You've got to maintain a fitness level of your horses. You got to keep them healthy. And you got to point them in the right direction. Every time you run your horse, you want them to improve, to get on the improve, to you know, get out there and make sure that you know, every time they run, they get something out of it and they can take it to the next level. You know, so again, it starts back with the owner and the trainers and everybody, and that's quite a task to do, because you've got so many weeks to, you know, to the Kentucky Derby. Starting what I deem as the Derby, start from the Triple Crown season, is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And then you start thinking, where do they go? You know, where do you go from here? You know, you want to improve every time with your horse. You want to make sure that they got good competition so that they just don't have a walkover. You want to make sure that horses that had, luckily, if you're lucky, you can get horses to run over a muddy track, or, you know, hot weather or cold weather. All these factors go into how do they get there. And so that's another thing. It goes back again to the owner. And it's quite a schedule to plan out, because you've got to plan out, you know, 7-8 months in advance. You know, you got to plan out the transportation. You got to plan out the feed. You got to, you know, plan out the parties, you know, that you're going to go to, you know, with that. And so, on how they get there, it's going to be an exciting thing to watch. You know, every week we're going to have a segment that we will bring out. We'll snip it in 6 to 8 minutes and show how the horses are getting there. You know, you're going to meet all the people it takes to get them to Churchill. You're going to actually do some interviews with people at Churchill and see how they prepare for the Derby, you know, with all the horses and all the people that are coming in. And so that will be quite interesting, you know, to see how Churchill does what they did. You know, it's good for them. But, you know, getting back to the horse and how they get there, an owner's and trainer's job is very difficult. I would say it's probably the hardest part of the whole process. Because if you've got a horse that you're scheduling and he's on the improve and he runs a bad race, you know, you got to make a decision. Do I take him on to the next race? It's going to be a little tougher, a little stronger, a little further. Or do I find an easy spot for him somewhere to see if he, you know, if he just had a bad race and, you know, just, you know, what the problem is. The owner, again, he's taking a beating like there's no tomorrow, you know, financially, physically, mentally, you know, it makes it rough. And you have those contingency plans. What if he's not good enough to get to the Derby? Where does he go from there? You know, where does the horse go after they have, you know, ended their career? There's a lot of good aftercare programs, as they call it, track thoroughbred UTTB, which is good. They become show horses, you know, which is unbelievable. Some of these horses, some of them become polo ponies. The one thing that I like is, I know we have a horse here at Sunshine Meadow. He's an off-the-track standardbred. Made a lot of money in his day, but he just got to the point where he didn't like training. He didn't like racing. You know, he was just getting sour, as they call it. And so, lo and behold, the people that got him here at Sunshine Meadow, they have a great show horse barn, great kids, great everything. You know, they got the cat, the dogs, they got the bird, they got everything, you know, there for them. Well, this standard bred horse is working with, and I say working with, people that have physical and mental disabilities. And it's amazing when you get a person around this horse, you know, something inside that horse knows that this is a special person, and the horse will just stand there. They brush them, you know, they feed them carrots, they take care of the horse. And it's amazing to see how they work as one. One with disabilities and one, you know, 1,100-pound animal, you know, if they work together. So, and that's what the owners have to think down the road once they start the process, is what do they do with the horse after he gets through running? Do they sell the horse? Do they breed the horse? You know, what do they do? So you hopefully, you know, you can retire on the stud and get, you know, get $100,000 stud fee, or get $100,000, you know, for a brood mare and foal to a big time, you know, sire, you know. And these are a lot of things that we're going to show on how they get there. We're going to take our time and explain it. You'll meet the blacksmiths. You'll meet the jockeys. The jockey's life is phenomenal in itself. They lead a very, very good life. You know, as an athlete, they're like a quarterback. You know, they're like a basketball or NBA player. And you know, we'll see how they train and how they stay in shape, what they eat and what they don't eat, you know, and how their season goes with them. You know, we're going to talk to the grooms in the barn. You know, if you don't have a good groom in the barn, you know, that could be really tough. They're the ones that, you know, are with the horse pretty much 24/7. And you know if they're sick or if they're hurt or if they're sore, if they're not eating. And, you know, the groom is another crucial, you know, person that's there. And the hot walker. The lowest guy on the totem pole in the business, the hot walker, he's the guy that walks that horse for an hour and a half after he gets through training on the track. And, you know, you can go to him and you can tell, and the hot walker said, well, you know, how'd they cool out? Well, you know, the hot walker tells you, well, drink an awful lot of water, you know, and he didn't do that much. You know, so not eating his feed. You know, he was nervous while he was walking and cooling out, you know, or he was very lethargic. And that's what a hot walker tells you. You know, so all the things that we talked about today is how they get there. You're going to meet each one of them as individuals. And you know, they're real people. They're doing this every day, 7 days a week. They're putting their, you know, whole life into it. And, So it's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be interesting to see. And I think you kind of enjoy what they're doing and, you know, how they get there. You know, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a good series that you can come back and watch every week, you know, with us. And things will change. And we'll be open for questions. And some of the jockeys and the owners and the trainers that we have, we're going to have some big-time famous people, you know, on our shows. And you'll be able to call in and ask them a question. You know, we'll have people on here like Bob Baffert, you know, Wayne Lucas, Johnny Velasquez, Jerry Bailey. You know, we're going to go knock on their door. We're going to talk to all of them, you know, so that you can call in and see, you know, who they're doing and you know, he's doing what, and we'll see everything, you know, there. And right here before we close, if you go to our website, or if you call 561-466-1272, we are going to give away a year's membership to ship.com. You don't have to be a horseman, you know, to call in. But we're going to give away a membership because we here at International Equine Network believe that things like this help you get through life a little easier. And it's all about distribution. And so if you give us a call at 561-466-1273, you know, we'll give away a year's membership to ship.com. And then that way maybe your life will be a little easier. And the time that you save by going to ship.com, you can tune in to International Equine Network every Thursday at 1 o'clock. Next week, folks, you're going to be able to see what I look like. I'm not going to surprise a lot of you guys and girls out there. So thanks for joining us today on International Equine Network. We appreciate it. And contact us if you got any equestrian information that you would like to have. So we'll see you next week. IEN debut video and radio.